Gold's price no longer responds to a single demand driver. The data shows by SocGen a shifting elasticities across jewelry, investors, ETFs, and central banks. These shifts reveal where price discovery is actually happening today.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. It's Wednesday, the 26th, 7:53 a.m. This is the Gold Fix Market Rundown. Our top story is part one of two, front and center there, real gold versus synthetic gold. And it's based on a SocGen analysis that we broke down. They were trying to determine who the primary drivers of gold price are and if elasticities in demand have changed, and they have changed in terms of who is dominant now, confirming what we all mostly think. Two of our premium analyses have been picked up by Scottsdale Mint. In the first one, Italy wants to tax private gold holdings. That is Italy weighing a one-off tax amnesty, is how they put it, to pull privately held gold into the formal economy. It's a wealth confiscation, so to speak, pay now or pay later, as the title says, and that's on Scottsdale. Second, also there, is UBS raises gold roof once again. UBS analysts reiterated recent bullish claims, but in this update, they raised their price targets to a high of 4,900. Now that's been making the rounds on mainstream media, but these are full premium Gold Fix posts unlocked for the Scottsdale audience. So we would encourage viewers and subscribers to read both pieces on their respective platforms. The links are included in today's email. Before we get to the other stories, let's read the markets. 10-year yields are unchanged bid. The dollar is up 1. The S&P 500 is up 15. NASDAQ is up 91. The VIX is down 30 basis points. Gold is 41.53, up 23. Near that level, perhaps you could say through that level that I've been looking at. Silver is 52.27, up 77 cents. Copper is up pretty strong, up 6 cents. WTI can't get out of its own way, down 34. Nat gas up 12. That's 3% at 4.35. Nat gas is your winter. It's the winter wonderland for nat gas. Bitcoin strong the last couple of days, but the bounces are anemic compared to what stocks have done. If you want to look at it that way, Ethereum down a little bit as well. Platinum, palladium up 21, up 10.75. Gold, silver down under 80, and grains are all up essentially uniformly. So you could assume that's fund buying. It's fund based buying as opposed to weather related demand. So moving to the story we sent out yesterday, gold's price no longer responds to a single demand driver. The data shows by SocGen a shifting elasticities across jewelry, investors, ETFs, and central banks. These shifts reveal where price discovery is actually happening today. Part one maps the new drivers that now define the market. They put out a report that showed elasticity of demand. So in English, who's buying strength and who's buying weakness? Who's selling weakness and who's selling strength? So who's chasing and who's buying dips and or selling rallies? And historically, there has been what we call wet blanket on top of the markets, meaning you have all these true supply demand drivers. A central bank wants to buy or sell gold. That's a true supply-demand driver, okay? A miner mines gold, supply-demand driver. Jewelry demand, it's seasonality, it's jewelry, it's, you know, Diwali and things like that. And then the other one would be ETF or investor demand. So those are your four real cohorts of supply-demand drivers that actually determine price. Those four drivers have been under a wet blanket for decades, we contend, from this data. And the wet blanket is globalization and financialization, which suppresses What's the first one I said? Central bank supply and demand. When they buy it, it's very quiet. When they sell it, it's very noisy. Mining supply and demand. Well, if you suppress the mining prices, you suppress the mining narrative, right? Third one, jewelry. Now, jewelry is one that they cannot suppress because jewelry is indigenous. It's cultural, largely because of India and China and other BRICS nations with their seasonality, whereas American jewelry is really just kind of a gift that you give on holidays. So that's a demand they can't suppress because it's real, it's decentralized, and it's not subject to dollar correlations. Then the last one is ETF buying, which is huge globally in the globalism mindset, meaning if you can convince the world that gold is just the tail of the dollar and the dollar is king, well, you can suppress or discourage pricing in gold by encouraging strength in the dollar, which is what we've done. Now, those four demand drivers that are somewhat under the wet blanket, SocGen takes another look at those drivers. Jewelry demand, you know, that's generally speaking elastic. Central bank demand is generally speaking non-existent, okay? ETF demand, generally speaking, elastic. This is key. American investor ETF buying is elastic, right? When the dollar is stronger, they sell it. When the dollar's weaker, they buy it. And American investors tend to chase it. But what they're showing, what they see in the reexamination of these elasticities is that because global price is no longer global, each segment, those four segments I described, are affecting the market with less obfuscation. So American buyers are buying strength. Of course, they always do that. But they're not selling as much on weakness. Central banks, another cohort, are buying, but they're not buying just dips. They're buying when it rallies. They're not just, this is important. They're not just raising the floor. They're causing the market to go up. They're not catching falling knives anymore. You know, they are the floor. They raised the floor, and now they're raising the floor more aggressively. Jewelry is what it is. Now, jewelry is very elastic in terms of ounces. The price goes up, you buy less. You get a smaller chain for your wife for Christmas, or, you know, a smaller bracelet for your husband. But in dollar terms, it's the same. Okay, so it's elastic, but it's no longer the only driver that drives the market, right? And what's the other one? I didn't mention it. The ETFs actually break into regionals now. The US ETFs buy strength and sell weakness, right? Because, you know, American investors are still in that neo-Keynesian mindset. The Chinese ETF buyers, and this is also very important, there are many very important points that can be culled from this. The Chinese ETF investors, they seem to be buying strength and selling weakness, but no, they're not. They're buying weakness, they're buying strength, and they are sometimes selling a little bit of weakness. This part of the analysis shows that China's buying, statistically speaking, looking at coefficients and cohorts and Granger methods, that Chinese investors, not central banks, not sovereign wealth funds, not all that other stuff, right? Chinese investors are slowly monetizing their wealth in gold. So instead of put it in different terms, instead of looking at gold as a hedge for their currency risk, like an American does, oh, the dollar's stronger, sell it, the dollar's weaker, buy it, they're looking at it as money itself. So you don't sell money when it drops, you buy it. They're actually buying more dips than they are selling dips, okay? And they're buying rallies because that's when it gets a little bit speculative. Anyway, there are a lot of important points that SocGen brings out. They don't draw the conclusions that you may be drawing or that I have drawn. And we don't include those conclusions that we have in this analysis because this is a dry, lengthy breakdown of their work. And it's quite good in looking at the elasticities of the market. They have several conclusions that they make, but you know, none of them are It's the end of the world, everyone wants gold. All of them are about the segments. This segment is this, this segment is that, right? In the part two, which we'll show, which we're sending out this morning, we will make the conclusions that you probably already suspect. So that continues in the premium post sent out yesterday. Part one, real gold versus synthetic gold. Synthetic gold, that's our phrase. We're going to call it that. Synthetic gold means futures and ETFs. Even though they are deliverable in gold, they're synthetic because of rehypothecation, because of sleeved collateralization at the ETF level, and because, well, you don't have it in your hand, okay? You don't have it in your hand, and that's it. News and analysis. Other stories that we think are, there's the Goldfix PM. We sent that out last night. That's the Death of Synthetic Gold Part 2 preview. You can get a little bit of a preview and a link to the story that's coming out later on today in there. Founders AM, good morning. You know what that's about. All right, coming soon, as I just mentioned, the death of synthetic gold, the wet blanket is gone. So that's our conclusion. Our conclusion is that gold is no longer globally blanketed by financialization. It's now each individual segment is acting. And we see that in terms of geography. It's bought in China, it's sold in Europe, and sometimes it's bought, sometimes it's so mostly it's sold in the US. We see that regionally in timeframes, but what it really is this representation of the different cohorts in the world. China, physical buying, and they have the ETF investors, right? So they buy it. Europe, financialization, globalism, they sell it. U.S., mixed bag, because the ETFs are becoming an investment of choice. If you take the time series that we've all seen, oh, buy it at midnight, sell it at 8 in the morning, and then buy it on the, you know, that whole China's been, that whole, remember that graphic? China throwing dollars at us and us throwing gold bars at them. That graphic is the world, right? But if you divide it into cohorts as opposed to sections of the earth, you see that it's not just China buying, it's physical buying. And the ETFs are rising in importance in the US because we're selling less weakness. China does not sell weakness pretty much at all in ETFs. They buy a billion, they sell a quarter of a billion into weakness. There's not a lot of hot money in the Chinese ETFs signaling that they are buying money. They're monetizing gold at the retail level. They're not. They're treating gold like it's bonds, okay? That's their 60-40 portfolio. 60% Chinese stocks, 40% gold. That's their portfolio. If bonds are replaced by gold over there, then bonds are replaced by gold at the investor level as well. That's the story going on at 9:45 today. And coming soon over the weekend, over the holiday, we have another story. We have another report that we're looking at. Fascinating, because if you may or may not remember, Jeffrey said $6,000 and change to be equal with gold. That was Chris Wood, right? Elder statesman. They do their own, look, everybody's getting ready to make a big recommendation, I think. Jeffries notes that Tether is a bigger buyer of gold than central banks now. And they go through it, not just that they're buying it and buying more in the last two quarters, it's when they buy it and how they buy it. And let's put it this way. Tether is the whale that doesn't catch knives. Tether says, I have an order to buy gold, I buy gold. Tether is like an American insurance company. Insurance companies don't buy dips. They get an order, they fill it. They get an order, they put their margin in, they fill it. Okay, so I would contend that Tether is a big driver of the last quarter when we had that run up. I would say that. That's becoming more apparent to me. And we have two pieces on that. That's the first piece. That'll come out tomorrow, Thanksgiving. And then the second piece, which will come out also tomorrow, but later on in the day, is our analysis of that. We break that report down and completely do it straight up, you know, what they're saying. But we're going to zoom out and we're going to say what that Jeffrey's analysis really means. Not just means, okay, they're buying gold, that's gold demand, it's going up in price. Yeah, it's going up in price, you have to own gold. But also what it means against the backdrop of American behavior for the last 11 months. And it means that we're getting ready for something big. Founders, which stocks benefit most from AI? You've heard us talk about there's two levels when a new technology comes out. There's the buy the technology stock, that'll be your Mag 7, and then there's buy the company that benefits from it. And you may remember me saying that, you know, AI is going to be a bottom line profit maker, not a top line profit maker, meaning it's not going to revolutionize something at first. It's not going to say, it's not an iPhone. Okay, it's an efficiency tool, at least first. And so it'll help the bottom line. So the bottom line is going to be helped by people getting fired. You've heard me say it that way. Well, here's the flip side. Which companies will be able to fire the most people? And there's a long list of stocks that benefit directly from that. And we're going to send that list with an explanation of why they benefit most from the implementation of AI. Okay. So something that Warren Buffett has done forever. You don't buy the tech, you buy the industry that can leverage the tech to its benefit. And these stocks are very cheap right now as well. Goldman Sachs notes that. And that's what we think. Finally, there's a story out now. Chicago, I think it's on Bloomberg. Chicago can't sell its own bonds. Now, municipal bonds, you sell them for debt to finance your city. Well, I'm not sure who it was. It was Goldman, I think, that pulled an offering because there wasn't enough interest. So, Mamdani, pay attention because New York could be on the route to Chicago. Data on deck. Today's Wednesday. Jobless claims, durable goods orders are delayed, but they'll be out today. Assume that by noon, everyone's out of here, right? At least on the East Coast. And that tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We'll be off. Friday will be off as well, but there'll be plenty of content. End of year 2026 opinions are coming in, so we'll see what we can scrounge up on that. Let's go to the markets. Take a quick look at the charts here because we're at a somewhat significant level. Let's start with silver. Okay, so silver is in, you know, I was talking about channels, right? Well, silver's not even really a wedge anymore, right? This is real. Like this was a potential bear structure, you know, down, bear flag down, that type of shit, right? But it's not. It's down, bear flag, broken, new high, right? So technically that leaves the bull move in place. And then we see how the market digests it and it's coming right back up there. So if we get above 54.15, right, we have $9 that we can run. We're not there yet, but I'm just saying how it is. The only level that matters above here now is this level, I think. 54, call it 30, 54.30. So the market can go sideways in here now, or it can go up and test it and fail and come back down to here. But, you know, you're not excited unless you're trading intraday or minutia. Gold. All right, let me change the chart. That's not the chart that I normally use. I need my chart with my lines. Yeah, there you go. Okay, for the millionth time, seller up here, echo here, market makes a low here, 40-day moving average. I don't have that in there. Again, hat tip CEO, I have the 30 and 50, right? Bottoms at the 40, kind of hugs the 40 all the way up as a tether, to use the word, as an anchor. And so I am looking at ranges. There's your bottom. I identify some big buying come in there, also coincides with the 40-day, and the market starts to range in here. This becomes a sort of a top. It breaks it, and I say, okay, let's see what happens at the echo. It breaks the echo last week, right? It breaks it. I get bullish. I get long. The market goes back into it, and I go, oh, shit, if we go below this line, it's over. We're going to test the bottom here again. We do not. We hold in here, and now we're up back testing it again. I would say that this really is leaning towards a higher move because it's just flirting with this line now. So the longer it how about this? The longer it stays near here after having broken it once, the bigger chance we have of like a gap higher. And then we can run up to here and you can see what really is going to happen, say at 42.50. So those are my levels. So we're not in a bear. It's not a bear flag continuation. It's either like silver sideways or move higher. But I think I don't know what's going to lead, silver or gold, if they go. But I do know this, you know, a settlement above here and a thin market on Sunday night or Friday, it'll be easy to make this thing pop, I think, especially with the bullion banks out of their minds trying to avoid losing money, I think. Let me put up Polly. See what Polly says. Let's get rid of my lines. Okay, so yeah, Polly has. I didn't have this as a level. My level was here, but now it's a level, right? So 4194 is where you want to pay attention. So in terms of a range, this is what his analysis would call. Actually, he's saying what I'm saying in his own terminology. This is I would call it range bound. Okay, with 4081 and 4195 as the new range, with the wider range being 3976, 3980, and 4251. So if it gets above 4194, I believe that you may have a pause at 4250, but we're probably going to keep going. That's my impression. So if you're trying to understand this, solid lines describe a trend that's happened, and dotted lines describe a trend that's potentially happening. I think he'd call this potentially containment. But anyway, it looks like as long as we're above 4077 now, according to this system, all systems are go. So it's looking at this as a trend line, essentially. And that's what I see. Have a great holiday. I'll see you Monday.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.